the Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
All right, you're very welcome along to our Saturday panel. It is the weekend of the All-Ireland Camogie Championship Finals. We're going to talk about that and some of the big issues around the Camogie season. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Orla O'Dwyer, Tipperary Camogie captain, and also a dual star as well. Sarah Durbin, captain of the Galway Camogie side, a four-time All-Star and an All-Ireland winner. The two are the captains of the two beaten semi-finalists, unfortunately. And also Sarah O'Donovan, a two-time former All-Ireland winner with Cork, then switched to Dublin and has now retired. You were in with us around about this time last year. We were talking, I think it was in the wake of the ladies football final and the great success and how they could capitalise on that. And you weren't sure at that stage whether or not you were going to go back.
So the
what happened?
Yeah, the cruciate went then and I didn't have it operated on. So as a result, I wasn't able to do all of the plyometric work that we would have been doing at the start of the year. So I was very conscious of that. It's a very heavy load.
And why didn't you have the operation?
Because I'd have been out between a year and 18 months to do the rehab. So it just, I'm 33. I couldn't imagine myself in a gym for a year away from the pitch. I thought it would be very hard to get back.
And if you don't have the operation on a cruciate, what are the side effects?
Pain during training sessions.
A lot of pain?
Yeah, a lot of pain. But I'm
so you're still playing club?
Yeah, still playing club full time.
And how gone is your cruciate?
It's flattened, in the words of the surgeon. It's completely gone.
Oh, Jesus.
So how are you even training for the club?
I have no idea.
How are you even walking around?
I'm not the fastest around a cone, right? But actually, and somebody may, I may be wrong on this.
You're some sort of Paul McGrath type figure around the club now. You don't train at all. You just turn up and run the show and the games.
Just take a ginger turn around a cone and go into the on the square. I play full forward, so it's a tidy old spot, you know.
Yeah, you were mentioning there, Mickey Whelan is coaching. You're at Vincent's.
Yes. Yes, this is my fifth year. And
he's your coach?
He's our new coach, Mickey.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's Mickey's first year training the ladies, ever, any ladies team.
And how's he finding that? I wonder how are you finding working with Mickey? He's such like a legendary figure of Dublin GAA.
So we love working with Mickey. I don't know if Mickey feels the same about us.
How long has this been going on for?
4 weeks.
Okay. It's a short romance. It's a very short romance.
Right. So
I think it's going to work out in the long run. He calls us fellas, which I love. Yeah. So it's from his point of view, I imagine it's something, the intensity levels that he's used to in the men's game are probably different to ours. So I think he's just having to accustom.
And on the month so far with him, what are the main things you picked up?
Caveats. He has identified that we just don't react quickly enough.
In what way?
Our peripheral vision, the way we attack a ball.
Right.
I think we watch as opposed to anticipate. And I think that's something that really has to change in Camogie. I think we tend to stand back instead of going to attack a ball.
Is this part of some sort of grand Vincent's plan to take over hurling in the capital of Pat Gilroy managing the Dublin Hurlers and Mickey Whelan being his mentor?
I think we're just very lucky in Vincent's to have so many intelligent minds looking to put themselves on the sport. So we've snapped Mickey up. We're very excited about it.
Yeah. Sarah, from a Galway point of view, obviously you get to a semi-final, you get beaten by Kilkenny in what was a very tight game. And I think right into the closing stages was a chance. If you got a goal right at the end, you may well have brought it to extra time. A weekend like this, having experienced an All-Ireland final, the joy of it, how difficult is it having to watch on?
Very tough. Do you know, I suppose the Kilkenny and Galway game a couple of weeks ago, it kind of went to whoever was going to get the goal was really going to win it. And unfortunately, Kilkenny got the run on us and the overlap. And then after that, I think within a minute, they had two more frees got. And we went down from being level to being 5 points down and trying to claw back then. We're getting close, but like we brought it back to three, but it was just not going to happen on the day. Look, not being there again this year, you know, it's been 2015 since the last time we were there, and it's the years are pushing on now, and we just kind of, it's a hard pill to take. You know, Kilkenny have bet us three times this year, once in the league, twice, once in the championship and the semi-final, and Cork bet us then and the thing. So the two teams always seem to be a bit of a roadblock for us the last couple of years.
We'll get on to previewing the final proper and the two teams and the rivalry that's developed between Cork and Kilkenny over the last little while. But it's interesting to talk about the way when they got the goal, they kicked on quickly. Like, it's such a sign of all great teams that when they spot a weakness,
yeah,
when they take it.
Absolutely. I suppose when we went to point up, clever enough, and Kilkenny side, and Downey pulled out the full forward and brought her out the field as an extra kind of a player. Mm. And they just had that overlap and the runners, and they just, you know, they played so intelligent after that they kind of made it hard for us to get possession of the ball, and they kept their six backs so tight that they smothered us up front. But like, you know, it was a carbon copy of the championship match where they got the goal, and then after that they got two more points, and it just...
Yeah, reading some of the reaction in Galway, some of the criticism was pretty harsh about the tactics, that it was too defensive, that maybe you weren't giving yourself the best opportunity of winning that. Is that what you have to do against Kilkenny?
Well, Kilkenny play... Kilkenny and Cork actually play very similar. They play the half forward line very, very deep, and kind of keep their six backs very tight. Like, their backs never go... Their half back line doesn't be more than 40 yards out from their goal. And then their midfielder, Megan Farrell, who is an engine, massive engine on her, does a lot of kind of filtering back and letting Anne Dalton then kind of anchor the six backs. And it's kind of hard to find a way of trying to break that down. And I suppose we were trying to nearly do the same in our backs, where we keep our, you know, our shop tight. But like, when the overlap happened, you know, like, it shouldn't have, but it happened, and like, that was the inevitability of it. You know, like, doing things like that would keep the score very low, which it was. I think what was it, 1-10 to 13 or something, like whatever the score was. It was very low scoring compared to the Cork and Tip game.
Yes, Cork 21, Tip 9 points. You would have preferred if it was a bit more low scoring.
Yeah. Look, we were given a good first half. I felt like we really stopped the ball from going up forward, and we really pushed up on them. But it's hard to keep that intensity up for 60 minutes, everyone knows. Cork are those engines going forward. They're great at, they always, Aoife Murray, from her puck out up, they work it up. They don't just give the ball off or hit it in. They always work the pass up, and I think that's really trained into them. And Kilkenny are a similar style of play as well. But I suppose at the end there, second half, it just shows how much more clinical Cork were, and the more experienced players stood out, we just dropped off a bit. But we are very happy to get semi-final, and it's been 10 years since Tip Camogie has, and I think only one player on the team, Mary Ryan, was there the last time they have been there. But I suppose that's us to look on for next year, and we're a very young team. We've lots more coming up, and I suppose they're a respected team of the day, and they have been in our championship anyway. Cork were well on top of the group board, and we knew it would be a tough battle to go out and beat them. But we were happy with our first half anyway, and hopefully next year we can improve on that, and we have learned a lot this year. So
yeah, different feeling then probably to what Sarah had.
Yeah.
Semi-finals are there for winning.
Yeah. You know, she's younger.
you can look back and actually think, we're making progress, we get to an All-Ireland final.
True.
You say you can take the first half of that game as a real learning experience kick on for next year, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. We were very impressed with our first half anyway, and even like our quarter final against Waterford was a lot closer, and we played Cork a few times, and it's always been that margin at the end. They get a few scores at the end, and I suppose we need to work on that a lot. We've new management there as well, and new players, and even with the intermediates, they got to a semi-final as well, and they lost against Down, so a few players from that could move up as well next year. So no, we're positive for next year, although the score wouldn't really recollect it, but no, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Very good. The Saturday panel brought to you this afternoon with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. If you're listening, you can text in on 53106. You can watch us online as well on all our social channels, youtube.com/offtheball, facebook.com/offtheball, or we're live on Twitter as well. We're joined in studio by Orla O'Dwyer, Tipperary Camogie captain, Sarah Dervin, captain of the Galway Camogie side, and Sarah O'Donovan, former Cork and Dublin Camogie star, and still working away with the St. Vincent team that are about to dominate Dublin Camogie for the foreseeable future. So we'll get on to previewing the game over the next hour or so, but I wanted to talk, it was perfect time actually, Larry Ryan is writing on the back of the Irish Examiner today a story about his daughter, essentially, as a 7-year-old, primed, loving sport, just getting into it, and probably going through some of the difficulties she faces by the time she gets to being a teenager, where there's this huge drop off from being 6 or 7, where there's all the statistics, as you say, suggest that there's little or no difference between boys and girls and their interest levels in sport in comparison when they get to 13 and 14, and there's this huge drop off among young girls. And he talks about a lot of good points, one of which is the type of conversation that is had around women's sport, and that's on the front as well. Aoife Murray, the Cork player, talking about the frustration of a negative news cycle in women's sport. And it's because when we're talking about this, what will the talking points be? You go, well, what were the big stories in Camogie this year? And they are negative, generally. The things that come to the forefront are the dual player situation, which I know you were involved in as well, Orla, where you had to play games on the same day, play games one day after another, similar for a couple of the Cork players as well. Like, is that something, Sarah, is that something you found? As I said, we were here a year ago talking about a brilliant success story of the ladies' final. We've had some great success story in Irish sport over the last year, but still, do you look at it and think, more often than not, it's a negative story that gets the headlines?
Well, actually, I was on Ivan Yates on Thursday evening doing a preview of the match, and it's been the toughest interview I've done. It was a 5-minute slot, and I had to justify why we were going to be in Croke Park on Sunday. And Ivan actually asked me if the three games were going to be on the radio, or on the TV, sorry, on Sunday.
Mm.
And then made a comment about that's how we spend the taxpayers' money, 186 million. You know, it was a funny scenario for me to be in for a 5-minute interview on the radio when I'm looking to preview a match. I just felt that...
I didn't hear it. So basically, yeah. Ivan was giving the line of, why are we opening up Croke Park?
Why are we opening up Croke? Yeah, it's just 25,000 people.
For
For a junior final, and intermediate, for 25,000 people, essentially, you know. He said, could it not be somewhere else? Is it devoid of atmosphere? You know, I'll be in the Red Parrot for the junior game. That won't be that great, will it? You know, it was just a tough interview, I found. And maybe that's the interviewing style that I'm not used to. But certainly I would have rathered a more positive spin to the 5 minutes that I was getting on national radio.
I would suggest it's certainly Ivan's interviewing style. But also, I can understand why you'd be a bit pissed off when you're coming in on what is the biggest day of the year for so many camogie players going up. And you're, as you say, you're having to justify your existence, essentially, as to why you're going to be there.
The questioning was a bit weird, you know. I was asked, how much were the tickets? Now, if Tomás O'Shea is sitting in studio, is he going to ask Tomás O'Shea how much the ticket is for the All-Ireland final on Sunday? You know, ask me things about the game, about the management style, about the players who
are
involved.
Is that not something, though, that the Camogie Association are keen to get out? The tickets are 20, 30 quid, so people know they can buy them, where they can get them?
I think we should have moved on at this point from that kind of engagement. We've had a full summer of sport. I think if people want to go, they're going to go. And I don't think that 5 minutes that we had should have been used to sell that it's cheap to go to Croke Park on Sunday.
The article here then from Larry Ryan touches on that and the negativity. Do you get that as players when you're talking amongst yourselves and you're wondering why there isn't more coverage of the Camogie Championship? And you get a lot of it this weekend, but in other weeks of the year where it's not the same, where it's lost amongst the hurling and the football?
Well, definitely for us, like we played our Ireland semi-final the day before the hurling All-Ireland. So there, we didn't get an awful lot of coverage, you know. And like the hurling All-Ireland the same weekend was going to do that. You know, it was, we played Below and Thurles the day before it, the hurlers were in Dublin. You're not going to get a lot of support to travel both. Same thing happened for us for the quarterfinals. We played Below and Cork at 7 o'clock on a Saturday, and our hurlers were playing the replay in Thurles on the Sunday. And all that, you know, the coverage, like, it's completely overseen by the hurlers. Like,
so what do you do? Because at the start of the year, you can't sit down as an association and go, well, we'll set the fixtures for the championship and we'll see what the lads are doing. And if there's not a big game on that weekend, we'll try and squeeze our match and hope we get a bit of publicity around it.
Yeah, it's difficult. Like, I know for us playing in Cork Park Equive now, it was fantastic to play in the stadium. I've never played there before and it was just unbelievable. But we were down there at 7 o'clock of a Saturday evening. With the hurling the next day, maybe could have done a double header. Might have been a possibility. I don't know. But definitely something like the crowds. Like, we only had about 200 people down there. You know, your usual diehard mother and father down below there.
We were having that conversation before we came in, because we were down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh that day and Cliath Foley was hosting a panel with Sonia Sullivan and Rena Buckley, and it was on a few hours before the game started. And I remember going over across to Mortrass and Callaghan at one stage for reports on the first semi-final, and it was just silence in the background. And it is that thing where we were asking at the time, do you want to be playing in Páirc Uí Chaoimh because it's such a brilliant stadium and getting the opportunity to run out? But if there's only 200 people there, you can literally hear every single word that the players are saying, like, to each other.
You know,
I think the only option is if the GA were willing to allow us to go in for double headers, because always in the national leagues are played, the finals are played before the men's games, and the atmosphere for the women, for even the last 20 minutes of the National League final this year, Cork and Kilkenny, it's brilliant because you've got all of the fans coming in for the men's game in rapture looking at this, you know, it's really exciting. And I think if they could marry that into the championship, I think we'd have a real chance of showcasing the sport.
And that's something we were quite literally talking about the last time you were in a year ago about ladies football, and Dublin are very good at that, and we saw a real improvement, I think, between men's football and ladies football over the league campaign, where possible, there was still some exceptions where you thought this doesn't make sense, but generally I'd say there were seven or eight good occasions where there was a ladies game on the same day, and there was definitely more interest because all the GAA journalists are down there automatically, so suddenly there's a lot more coverage of it. Orla, what's your sense? You're playing both, you're playing ladies football and you're playing Camogie. Do you notice a difference even in the interest levels in ladies football to Camogie?
Yeah, even like we were in an Intermediate All-Ireland final last year, and we were playing before the Mayo and Dublin senior ladies, and the atmosphere was unbelievable there. There was plus like 42,000 there, and it was massive, and I thought it was great. But yeah, I think with the football, there's more of a support there, especially with Lidl and stuff being there as well. And I think they're really broadcasting it more as well. And I think there's a lot more support around it and a lot more interest in it. I noticed anyway as well compared to the Camogie. I don't actually know what it is about it, but it's just, I don't know, it's just the way the football.
Historically, is there a reason why we have twice the crowd going to the ladies football final compared to the Camogie? Is it just better marketing? Better sponsorship deals?
In the last number of years, it's a better sponsorship deal. And I'm not disparaging for Liberty at all, because Liberty are working really hard. Yeah. But I also think that ladies football is the fastest growing sport in the country because of the accessibility. When you play Camogie and hurling, you tend to pick it up at 7 or 8 years of age. Mm. There's an opportunity for girls to come in at 12, 13 and 14, come in from other sports, basketball, and play football, soccer, come in and play football. It's harder to pick up.
There's a lot more counties as well playing football than, like, you look with the intermediate, like Cork intermediates are in the All-Ireland as well, and they're seniors then as well. Like with football, it's not as common. So I think there's a lot more counties playing the football, and it's the same like with the men's as well. But
it's no coincidence that it's the same counties in the Camogie final that are in the hurling final as well.
It's the same counties kind of dominated,
I think there's a real opportunity now with the lads under 17s and under 20 competitions change from minor and under 21. That tradition of having the minor final before the men's final. Yeah. This year they were saying that possibly the under 17s were too young to have that experience on All-Ireland final day. And I think there's an opportunity for the Camogie to come in now and have the senior players, because it's not that tradition anymore of having the minors play. It's a different age group now.
And you think that's as simple as having the conversation? There doesn't need to be the what, which isn't a different conversation, but the wider, whether Camogie and ladies Gaelic football start to come in under the umbrella of the GAA?
I don't necessarily think they need to come in under the umbrella for that situation to happen in Croke Park, where the ladies' final is played in conjunction. Mm. We played alongside the under-21 lads in 2006. Both those matches were played together, and that was a great atmosphere. You know, the lads were in for the under-21 first, and then the Camogie was after.
Sarah, when you're looking on them, what do we need to do better in the media when we're covering Camogie?
It's difficult. It's very hard to figure out what is the problem, because, you know, you go to All Ireland hurling final and you see loads of little girls going around, you know, all out and togged out in their jerseys and everything, and you're wondering, like, did they know the Camogie was the day before, or did they go to the Camogie? Did the families bring them? Or it's like, as Sarah was saying, like, Liberty are doing a fantastic job. Like, they launched a new campaign with like Colette Dormer and all them, that really were opened the eyes of women in sport, and, you know, how good it is to be a Camogie player, and the qualities and attributes it does bring to you. I really don't know.
There is no easy answer.
There is no easy answer. Like, the quarterfinals were live, the semi-finals were live, the All-Ireland is live. The media are trying, and the Camogie Association are doing their very best as well. It's just hard to get people to follow it, to go to games.
Because live TV coverage is often seen as one of the most important factors in increasing interest. But then you have the situation, as you had down in Porkeycueve, and I was watching that night, and you flick through the channels, and now with 8 different sports channels, there's 100 different live sports happening, and you're flicking through, and the only one of them in an empty stadium was the Camogie.
Yeah, and it looked like a challenge game.
And that's the thing. You're looking at it, and it doesn't feel important, even though it is. It's an All-Ireland quarterfinal. There's a huge amount at stake. Yeah. But when there's only a few hundred people in a corner of the ground where you can't actually see them, if you didn't know, if you weren't following the sport, you wouldn't have any real sense of what's actually at stake here.
Yeah.
I know that Dublin played Tip in the last game of the round robin in Parnell Park.
That was great,
and it was a packed stadium.
It was great,
it was brilliant. The atmosphere is amazing. And I think maybe if the venue choice had been better for the actual quarterfinals, and you had that noise, you know, in Parnell Park per se.
Yeah, it's great.
It would have made a great atmosphere.
Larry touches as well on, I think it was Rena Buckley talking about Sonia O'Sullivan being her idol, and Sonia being around Cork and there, and you're able to see her and you're able to watch her race from time to time, but you'd see her walking the streets and all that, and having your idols available, which is the real asset of the GEA. And he goes on then talking about actually women supporting women in the GEA, or just in Irish life in general. And he did a bit of research and picked up several of the magazines aimed at a female audience. 384 pages, one small slot on sport, which related to a short piece on an Essex recreational running club. He found one sports person, and that was Desi Dolan at a golf classic at the Mary Keating Foundation.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which is pretty damning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think potentially the people who are working in PR aren't necessarily sports mad, right? And I had an experience in a corporate box a few weeks ago where a lady made a comment to a man, God, she's actually a good looking camogie player. And I said, whoa, you know, what was her impression of camogie players? You know, that she had assumed that what were we, you know, where did we come emerge out of a tunnel somewhere in the darkness, you know? And she wasn't trying to be disparaging. I think she just made a silly comment. But I have no idea what she thought a camogie player looked like, because she was surprised that I had makeup on my face and I'd brushed my hair. Like, absolutely mad.
Young, fit athlete would be looking well.
Yes.
Shock horror.
Yeah, shock horror. And, you know, she made this comment and he was embarrassed. He laughed. But she was in PR and she obviously, from a day-to-day basis, doesn't engage with camogie players, you know, and she was in charge of our sponsorship. So
sometimes it is as simple as that the people who are in charge of the editors of these magazines don't have an interest in sport. They have more of an interest in the lifestyle side of things. But then you would look at sponsors like Liberty, the sponsorship of the Ladies Football Championship, that those big companies have realised actually that there is a huge market there, that they're very, very keen to tap into. You would have to wonder then why a lot of these publications aimed at females aren't reflecting that and aren't copying onto this.
100%. Yeah, it's like there is loads of women magazines out there, like Tatler and kind of magazines, and you know they probably should maybe dedicate a couple of pages to women in sports and maybe preview the All Ireland hurling final this weekend, or you know, and showcase it in the best possible light it can be. Like to Sarah's point, that comment, you know, like did she think women that play sport are butch women that just, you know, hatchet women like her? What?
You sort of thought that was an opinion of 20 years ago.
You know, it's very. Definitely think it's something that needs to be tapped into, definitely. You know, maybe I don't know, supplement every couple of weeks on women in sport, something.
Well, I think positivity came from the women's hockey a few weeks ago, and that 1 hour on TV for the semi-final, I knew all of the girls' names and I was backing them to the hilt, you know, and I think we haven't obviously seen them since. Well, in spatters.
Well, they're on the late last night, and but I think probably there was the initial rush, but you're going to see them now becoming a part of Irish life in, I don't want to say in a celebrity sense, but in the way you would see Dublin footballers turning up on the 6 o'clock show on TV3, those kind of roles where people suddenly become used to you, they recognise your face instantly and they understand you're an Irish hockey player, and there's an inherent constant promotion from that.
I think Fiona Cullen, the rugby player, she would have been, after Ireland beat the All Blacks, there was that kind of, I suppose, seeping into the Irish psyche of
she retired Irish at the right
rugby.
Time. She had all the good things.
Exactly. But certainly the Irish women's rugby became very much a part of, you know, they were on second captains and they were on the late and they did all the big gigs. And as you said, there's a resonance now, you know, Irish rugby, Irish women's rugby, it's successful. It's really good.
Yeah.
So the same has to happen.
Absolutely. Like when the Irish hockey team were involved in the World Cup there, like you couldn't go onto Twitter and it was just full of it, everywhere. It was brilliant. Like, but it took them to do something that unbelievable and like a huge achievement for them to get this attention and to get even sponsorship. Like people were saying that these girls had to pay money to travel like, you know, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, Softco came in, I think it was, and 20 grand got the best sponsorship deal of all time, it turned out. But even I couldn't believe reading an article today in The Independent, I think it was Sinead Kassam was writing about Kilkenny, and still not really having anywhere to train, the squad members putting in a couple of quid a week into a kitty, having to source food, that you just, I don't know, and we're probably all guilty of just turning a blind eye, an assumption that in Kilkenny, where the hurlers are treated well, actually, to be an expectation that
the women would as well.
Like I think you pointed out before, actually, and Dublin is probably leading the way in this.
100%. 100%. Way ahead. Like that, like you Kilkenny and the hurlers being so dominant with the Camogie players being in the All-Ireland nearly every year for the last few years, like you think they would be getting the same level of respect.
Like that, it shouldn't be acceptable that there is a difference the way that the men's team and the women's team are treated. I do wonder though then, if everyone was to come under the GAA, would it then almost legally be unacceptable for players, grants, everything, if that would actually be a way forward, that the Galway County Board, the Tipperary County Board couldn't put everything on a plate for the men's senior team, that actually, whatever they get, a Title IX type scenario for the inter-county scene.
Yeah, no, I know Sarah was saying that to keep them separate, but I think I'd love to see them
all together. To
see the level, like when we won the All-Ireland in 2013, we had to physically go out and sell calendars to raise money to go on a holiday. Now, it was a week to Lanzarote, but we had to do that as players, go door to door, knocking on, trying to sell a calendar of ourselves. I thought Camogie pictures, like, I'm not, nothing like that now. But, sorry.
But woman in the corporate box, we got quite a shot.
There are action shots on the Camogie field. Let me clear that up.
We talked about going to Lanzarote. We made so much money, we ended up going to the Caribbean for a fortnight.
I wish. But then, like, the hurlers, like, won the All-Ireland and 100% deserved it. Got a week in Cancun with 3 days in New York.
Do they not have to do some fundraising for that?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
They have to do calendars anyway.
Like, you both have the same sponsor across your chest, right?
Yeah. Right.
Money one.
But it was just a strange thing we had to do, because, you know, when we won the All-Ireland at that time and we were delighted and all we wanted was a few days away, and we had to go and put the calendar together. Pick the photos.
We're going to sell a lot more calendars after this, I feel. We need to get to ads, but Orla, just before we do, just on this then, and with making comparisons to the treatment of the men's senior hurlers compared to the Camogie and football teams, and maybe actually the Tipperary men's footballers, will look at it and think we're also in the shadow of the men's senior hurling team down there. I guess it's difficult to do, but important as players not to get totally wrapped up in that as to what they have and what you don't have.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even this year, like the way the men's would always, the hurlers would always be the main in Tipperary, but when they didn't obviously get like far enough this year, so I think there was a bit more interest in the Camogie, especially our home matches and the rag and stuff. There was a lot more like families there, and loads more people be asking about it, and loads more people being well more aware of it. But you can't really get bogged down about it. Like, we're there to play because we love it as well. At the end of the day, the Camogie and the football as well. But it's just crazy the way there's such a difference between like the men's and the women, especially in Tip as well. It's like all counties, I suppose, as well. But
lose players because of it.
I suppose when it comes down to the stuff that, like, let's say expenses and stuff like that, like, we wouldn't get much of those. Or like if the men's do like work commitments and college can't come into it a lot, and it does. Yeah, I think you could lose a good few players, and I know a good few club players now that could be on the senior team easily, but they just can't because of other stuff that's going on and the commitment it takes as well, and maybe they're not getting what they deserve from it like the men's would. But I don't know. Yeah, it's hard one to put your finger on. Like, it's hard. I don't know, really.
We need to take a quick break. That's Orla Dwyer of Tipperary. We've Sarah Durvin of Galway and Sarah O'Donovan, formerly of Dublin and Cork, in studio with us. It's a really long intro for you every time. Maybe that's what pissed Ivan off. He's like, bloody hell, this is the longest intro for a former player I've ever had.
He called me Susan as well.
Christ. Right, we'll get into that over the ads, I think. 53106 is the text number if you have any reaction, any thoughts, and we want to get looking ahead to the three games tomorrow as well, but we'll take a quick break.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
You're very welcome back to the Saturday panel. We're looking ahead to the All-Ireland Camogie Finals. It all gets underway at Croke Park tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Dublin against Kerry in the junior final, then the intermediate final at 2, Cork against Down, and the senior final sees Cork take on Kilkenny at 4:15. I don't know how much the tickets cost, and I can't ask anybody, so it's a very difficult, very difficult situation for anybody who's wondering where you can buy a ticket right now. We will tell you before the end of the show. A lot of texts coming in. We've Sarah O'Donovan, Orla O'Dwyer, and Sarah Durvin in studio. Don't know what the problem is. The coverage of Camogie seems to have improved. The marketing is excellent. Hard to come by a solution, says David in Thurles. It's important to cover these negative stories in Camogie to highlight the difference in how we cover men's and women's sport in this country, says Mary in Fermoy. And I guess that is one point, that when there are injustices, people, you do want them covered.
Yeah.
But if there are issues with dual players having to play, did you play two games in the same day?
Yeah. Yeah, I had football in Nina, which is in Tip, at 1, and then at 5 I was playing against Offaly in the Camogie. So just a few hours. They're not too far away, about half an hour away.
What have you been moaning about? And was that something that at the start of the year, when you made the decision to play dual, that you knew it was a possibility, or was this something that a week beforehand suddenly becomes an issue?
Yeah, I knew playing the boat with them that I might have a match Saturday and Sunday, but I didn't, that has happened a few times in the same weekend, but no, I never expected one to be on the same day. But I only got told like a week or two week before, and I just it can't read well in it too much. I just went on and played two with them,
it was wrecked. Were you for the second one?
Yeah,
which was first?
The football was first, and then the Camogie was second. You really do, it affects you. Like, even your concentration levels to get the ball up is even harder. Even to, move or even shout at someone to do something, you'd feel like it's so tiring.
So but, then a few weeks later, when you had to play one game on the Saturday and one on the Sunday, it wasn't quite as bad.
No, I'm not one to be as bad as that, I'd say, after. But again, with the semi-final, we were playing against Cork, and we were supposed to play Cavan the same day in a relegation match. But Kevin actually kindly changed the Sunday, but we just had to go up and play him on the 19th. So, I still used to be wrecked though the second day. It's not enough recovery, obviously. Mm. But with the whole fixture thing, I know the Cork girls, Hannah Looney and Libby Coppinger, who was so Jules as well, theirs was supposed to be on the semi finals, supposed to be on the same day. But Donegal agreed to change it to the following week, which I think is the right thing to do. And players shouldn't have to play the two matches in 2 days anyway.
So, what are you going to do next year? Are you going to maintain your dual status, or do you need to knock one of them on the head?
No, I think I'll stay with two of them. I wouldn't be, I'd love the two of them the same. They're even playing both of them in college is good as well. And the management are actually great, Shane and Bill. They have been great, and there's great communication between the two of them. I know it's a big lot to do, but I'm happy to play the two of them anyway. We're back down intermediate now with the football, so it's a bit of a knock, but no, I suppose I'll just keep going at them and so see what next year brings, and hopefully the situation doesn't occur where they're on the same day again.
Yeah. Luke Walsh, who's watching on YouTube, if the ladies' final was before the men's final, what would happen with the money? All-Ireland final day is ladies' football's biggest money spinner. Would they give up that for a better atmosphere?
That's a good question.
It is, actually.
I'll leave you to answer it.
Yeah. I suppose if we started with the hurling, that might be a good place to start.
Yeah. I suppose
Camogie before the hurling.
As well, if they were, and if this was to be part of a greater merging, well, suddenly ladies football final day wouldn't be the biggest money spinner. You'd be involved in a far greater pot of money where you wouldn't be as reliant on the attendance of the
Super 8s, you know? Mm. If the game started to be played before the Super 8s and all of a sudden the money was divvied out across the year, then that would be a much bigger opportunity.
John from Waterford has a suggestion, which Orla, I dare say you wouldn't agree with. Play both the Camogie and football finals on the same day. Guaranteed 60,000.
No, I wouldn't agree with
no
that.
Bother to you, Orla.
Dan Locke on YouTube. The women should be playing the same day as the men. They put in as much effort, take the hits and tackles and score some beautiful points. Coverage like this, exactly what we need. I can hear the frustration in the voices of your guests, and it's merited. However, the tide is changing slowly, but it is changing. Yeah. A huge fan of women's sport and somebody whose silent protest is to stop reading the sports section of newspapers due to lack of coverage. I'm finally sure that we will very soon get to the stage where women are equal in sport. Well done, keep it up, says Mary in Lucan. Do you feel
Mary.
The tide has turned?
Definitely. I think we are improving, but it is it's slow, unfortunately. Definitely. I think we had 3,000 at the semi-finals this year.
Yeah.
Which was far better than the quarter-final. But and the coverage is growing, and but I just wish it would go faster.
My argument is that the League of Ireland would probably love some of the attendances that we've had at our biggest games, and the League of Ireland men's isn't getting the same coverage for their biggest days as we are. So, you know, we are obviously, you know, cutting above our cloth at the minute, and we are doing well. You know, let's be honest, would the League of Ireland like our attendances? Yes, they would.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, I think the ladies football had the biggest attendance in Europe last year.
The League of Ireland probably benefits in that generally most of the tabloids certainly would have a 7 or 8 page pullout every Friday looking ahead. But again, that's probably because you have a football correspondent in each newspaper who's living is covering the game and going along on a Friday night. And Michael Gallagher on Twitter on the bigger crowd sizes at the ladies football, maybe because every club in the country has to buy tickets for the ladies final, whether their county is in it or not. I don't know whether Camogie clubs are forced to buy tickets like that or not.
That's a good question.
I think we have to. I think we have to buy two at least. Okay. Club, I think.
As the girl said, having Cork in two, you know, of the six spots for this year's games on Sunday means that there's a whole county that's being split in half. You know, if it had been a Clare or a Tip in the semi-final or in the final, you'd have had a whole other county interested. Yeah. So that does take away.
Yeah, it does,
And Cork have been in the intermediate final for the last 3 years. Yeah. So it's been happening for 3 years in a row. You know?
I suppose with the ladies football then, they had Dublin in it, which would obviously generate a massive crowd. I would like to see if Dublin were in the Camogie finals, would we have an increased crowd?
Definitely.
Do you know? She'd say that. Full army.
Coming out, cruciate or not, out of retirement very quickly. Yeah, it looks as though Camogie doesn't need to look very far for a prime example of how to promote its sport, because ladies football is such a good example in so many ways then, whereby the people who play ladies football get behind it and turn out. Yeah. They've managed to turn finals day into an event whereby, and last year again, maybe it worked out perfectly that you had Mayo and Dublin in the men's final and the women's final, but you had, 47,000 there. Like, I know I went to that and I brought my kids, and they've sold it now as a family event. It's actually a really good day to bring your kids to Croke Park, where there's a big atmosphere, there's a big crowd. It's not like it's pre-season friendly or something like this, where actually it really does matter.
Yeah.
To somehow catch up on that.
Still 25,000 people going to be in Croke Park on Sunday in the Camogie, and it is still an amazing day.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's 10,000 less people there, I appreciate. Yeah. But it's an amazing day, and it's always been an amazing day.
Yeah. As a Camogie under 10 coach and GAA club PRO in Cork, the sooner the women's sports are under the GAA umbrella, the better. It will be second fiddle forever otherwise. The people in these organisations need to do the right thing for our sports and athletes, says Dave. And another similar text with the panel, rather, Camogie and ladies football were under the GAA umbrella, with hurling and football at their county level. At club level, it is, to all intents and purposes. What would be the pros and cons? I think we've...
Well, I'll just give you an example. I think it starts with the club, and Vincent's this year have made the senior men's, senior women's Camogie, so the senior hurling and senior football and senior women's, three teams are the only teams that have access to pitch one, the big pitch, for our training and matches, and every team defers to us. And that was the Vincent's committee's choice, to include us with the senior hurlers and the senior footballers. You know, it's a three-way tie. Yeah. And that was their choice. And we're not under the same umbrella, because we're not in the same organisation, but as a club, they decided that. So I think it can start with the club. And that was a very positive thing for us. And we're on the same level playing field. You know, Ger Brennan comes out to training after me. Derby Connolly comes out to training after me. We train at 6:30, they train at 7:45. Why can't that be the same in the clubs, the other clubs?
And so that's basically, it goes back to that grassroots level of, what are we going to be about as a club, as a part of this community? Do we want it to be equal for everybody? At club level, how do you find it?
Well, we've only two pitches. How many pitches have you?
Two.
And then if they're underground heated pitches, they're indoor. This is Vincent's. Half a Dublin pen.
We really don't. No, we have two pitches. That's it.
Well, we have we've one main field, and we have the same with the hurlers. Like, you know, if they're one probably Tuesday, Thursday, we're Wednesday, Fridays. We don't really have any kickback or anything like that. We obviously have zero football in our club, out now hurling. It's fine in our club anyway, and it's a very strong club. Like, in fairness, the hurlers and Camogie, we follow each other, and you know, we all know exactly where we are in championship and how the matches go, and we all have, you know, it's your family, it's your club, you're all intertwined, like, you know. I don't know, it's the same in Tip.
Yeah, like, we're both intermediate, so the lads and the girls, we were kind of even as well. Like, the lads train different nights to us, and then when it comes to the matches, home matches, like some of them be at our matches, we go to their matches. It is kind of even enough as well, which is good, like, as well. But yeah, I know it's all even there as well.
So all right, keep your text coming, 53106. Let's get to looking to tomorrow's finals. Dublin Kerry. Is this the first ever meeting of Dublin Kerry in a Camogie final?
A novel pairing. It's brilliant. Yeah. Kerry are coming in on the back of a 10-point victory over Roscommon, fueled by Patricia Diggan. Now, anyone who knows Patricia plays with UL, and UL have been kingpins in the Ashburn for the last number of years. So Kerry's rise to the top is not a surprise to people playing with UL, because Patricia is a serious, serious talent.
They're based basically Kerry around about one senior club. Yeah. The vast majority of their players come from that. But so I guess that's where an opportunity here is actually to go. Listen, there's an opportunity to come play in Croke Park. It's the best recruitment policy.
Yeah, and it's going to be brilliant for Camogie down there as well. Like, you know, to get the interest levels back up, and you know, Kerry to be playing for the first time, as Sarah said, in Croke Park ever. It's going to grow in there, like, and I know she'll probably kill me, but I'd love to see them win it.
That's not going to happen tomorrow, I feel, but certainly they can win it next year. That's fine.
A few years ago, I remember we were at the WGPA meeting, and you know, the way they were treated down there and their standard, and how they were getting very difficult to get things up and running. I think it'd be fantastic for the county to see them win it. Sorry, Sarah.
I know Paul Galvin's a big hurling fan, so I'm expecting Paul in Croke Park tomorrow to support the Kerry girls.
The call has gone out. What about this Dublin side? Is it a particularly strong Dublin team?
It is, actually. Now, there's five girls from Vincent's on the panel, and that's not saying that they're obviously going to be the difference, but I just feel that Dublin left an All-Ireland behind them last year, and they were very upset over it. So they've come back the hard way, done it the hard way, and they're back there again. So I really feel like they won't let tomorrow slip.
Right.
The player of the year last year for the junior is Aoife Bugler, and she did her cruciate about a week after she came out of that All-Ireland, and she's back, and she scored 1-4 in the semi-final for Dublin. And I think Aoife will have a massive say tomorrow. She's an incredible talent. And to come back from a cruciate, you know, within 9 months is fairly incredible. And I think you'll see goals galore from her tomorrow.
So that's at midday. 2 o'clock, the intermediate final, Cork against Down. So Cork in the senior and intermediate deciders. I guess just again shows the depth that is there on Lee's side at the moment, that they can have two incredibly strong teams.
Yeah, 3 years in a row nearly, I think. Yeah, Cork are back down there for the third time, so they got bet the last two. It'll be a very good, interesting match. I think I give the nod to Cork. I know Down have a very good player in Niamh Madden. She trained with us a couple of months ago. She came in for a panel match, and she's an excellent player, savage player. But it'll be a very good match, I think.
Definitely.
Standard-wise, intermediate to senior, how big a difference is it?
I don't think there's much of a difference. Like, so like as I said with ours anyway, some of the players could be on the senior team without our intermediates. I suppose I feel like just with the seniors, I think sometimes just the sharpness of it sometimes. But no, there's no difference between them. Like, a lot of the players and Tip anyway are even enough. And when we train, the seniors and intermediates play together, and we play matches against each other, and sometimes they beat us, sometimes we beat them. Like, it's very even with Tip anyway, I think. Yeah.
Meath would have won last year's intermediate, and they came up senior this year. They found senior this year very tough. Like, they were losing games by 10, 12 points. Right. So there is probably that kind of base of 10, 12 points to make up when you do come from intermediate to senior.
It is a big jump, anything.
Yeah, and I guess for Down, coming down, where there'll be a huge Cork crowd up, either way.
And Paddy's over both as well, so...
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
He's got a big management team with
him. Yeah, he's got their own bus. The
backroom. 20 backroom staff, is this like Vincent's club level?
Yeah, absolutely, about 35 in the backroom,
I guess it makes sense in many ways to have the senior manager managing the intermediate when there is a little bit of floating between the two teams, that you get a full grasp of all the available talent.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah, definitely. And it, like, you know, you pick and choose, like, if this one's going well for the intermediate, we'll put it on the panel. And you know, if the girls then are on the senior panel that aren't getting games, they can play the intermediate games to give themselves some game time. Definitely, I think it really brings
on the senior players as well, because if there's an intermediate player saying, well, like, you want to be like, oh, I want to keep my jersey, I have to keep going, like, so no, I think it's great. Be the same with Bill Milani and Tip, and no, I think it worked out very well, and you'd always have great numbers at training, like 40 plus 50 maybe. Right. So yeah, it was great, I thought, anyway. Great way to go about it.
Let's hear from the Down captain, Fionnuala Carr. She was chatting to Mór Trasna Cailleag during the week ahead of the intermediate final. An extraordinary turnaround for the Mourne outfit that included a pretty dire league campaign.
Fionnuala Carr, You've won the junior a few years ago. You've now made the step up to intermediate and you've made the intermediate All-Ireland final. That's a huge achievement for County Down.
Yeah, huge achievement. We probably felt that we could have made the step up a bit quicker. Been back in the final from 2014, maybe 2015, 2016. But the players that we had in 2014, we had tried for so long to win the junior that whenever we got it, you know, all the girls had other things that they wanted to do in life, like going travelling and have families and stuff. So we lost the core group of that 2014 team, and it took us a couple of years to regroup and get back to where we are today.
It is an amazing achievement to have reached the final when we consider how your league campaign went.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been many people's bets to be here in September. Not overly, I had an inkling, and I don't know why, that we had the players to do it, and it was just getting those players together. A few of the girls had been a wee bit disheartened over the last couple of years and the commitment they were given, and then they said, well, we'll go back. And then when you get players with the likes of calibre of Sir Louise back and Paula back and Amy McLean and those likes, then, you know, it helps with the morale of the team, it helps with the standard of the team, and then we've just gradually improved game by game.
Yeah, that is the Down captain, Fionnuala Carr, talking to Mar Trasna Callig at Croke Park earlier in the week. So that game throws in at 2 o'clock, and then it is the senior final, 4:15 start tomorrow. It is Kilkenny against the defending champions Cork, third year in a row, fourth time in 5 years. Kilkenny have won just one of them. Last year it was one of the most dramatic endings to a game we have seen at Croke Park, as Julie White's wonder strike led on, managed to win it for Cork. The season as a whole, and listen, you were both beaten semi-finalists, do you have to accept that these are the two standout teams in the country right now? No, I'll never accept this. Scoreboard live.
No, I'll let Orla.
Yeah, like with us anyway, in our group, Cork were always well on top with the score difference as well. And I know Kilkenny, in the other group, they had Galway yourselves, obviously, who were contenders as well. But yeah, I think the two best teams are in the final anyway. And I think it'll be a great match. And they're well used to playing each other. And they had a few meetings already. And I think it'll be a great... It was very defensive last year, I thought. But no, a great big open pitch suit the two teams. They're very strong at carrying the ball forward and giving the pass. And I'm sure Cork can score from all angles, as you've seen in our semi-final with the wing-back scoring. And no, I think the middle third between Aisling Thompson and Orla Kosher and then Denise Gall and Megan Farrell, I think that would really... be the whoever dominates that will be, I think, will overall win, and whoever gets best performance, obviously. But no, I think it'll be a very exciting game, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's all right, Sarah. We'll get a little video. We'll send it to you. You can WhatsApp it to all your teammates for the next time Galway play Tipperary next year. Written off.
Thanks, Orla. No, look.
You've obviously been going up against both these sides for a number of years now, and Cork have had this unbelievable run of success over the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Is this as good as any Cork team you've come up against?
Yeah, they're very good. They're a very talented team. The way they play, the runner, and they always have the overlap as well. I think Gemma O'Connor is going to be a huge cog in that, because, you know, she always sits. She sits the eep. She's well able to read the ball. She seems to be. It seems to be a magnet her no more than Anne Downey and Dalton on the reverse side of Kilkenny. Cork are very, very strong physically. Exactly, like they've Hannah Looney, Aisling Thompson. You know, girls are well able to get the ball, burst forward, and like they have a Chloe Circus in there from on the wing back at three outrageous points from play. And what you call Pam and Mackie, then another one in the backs, like five backs to score, two backs to score 5 points is huge. Like in any level, men's, women's, it's huge. I think Cork are a very strong team.
So how do you unsettle them? How do you stop them getting those runners through and the overlap, which is such a key to stopping any team that's in full flow? Because when the confidence is up, suddenly everybody feels it's in them to make those breaks, that you have options on left and right. How do you get about getting into their heads that they just get them out of their comfort zone?
I think Kilkenny are the key team to do that. Kilkenny love to keep possession and they never panic. Mm. So by keeping the ball away from Cork, they can't actually make those overlaps. And that's why Anne Dalton is so key for Kilkenny tomorrow. Because when Anne Dalton delivers a ball, she delivers it 70-30 in favour of the forward.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get the ball off of the forward if Anne gives them a ball. So if Cork don't have the ball, how are they going to create the chances, you know? That's why playing Kilkenny is just the key thing for Cork to overcome.
And the two battles at centre-back each side are going to be massive in the game. Definitely. So you've Jem O'Connor possibly on Katie Power. That's going to be huge. Katie's probably going to try and bring her out and take her out of sitting in the pocket. And Yvonne Dalton now is going to be on Ola Cornan, who's probably going to, you know, very pacey forward, who's probably going to move all over the place. It's going to be interesting to see if they follow, do they sit. If Anne follows, I'd say you could see Megan Farrell reverting back to the pocket to clean, to sweep up. I can see maybe Aisling Thompson coming back and letting Gemma to read the ball, because I think they're huge. The two number sixes, I think, whoever gets on top, so I think it's going to be massive.
And is Gemma O'Connor a like Garrodge McInerney type figure who never wants to move out of that number six slot? Or is she happy if...
Well, she can score points.
If she's made her own.
Yeah, definitely.
She's well able to get her own score. I just think it's her ability to read the game. I just think she seems to be, and Anne Dalton is the very same. There just seem to be a magnet to the ball. And like, I know in 2015 we made an absolute hero out of her. We did. We poked every ball and she seemed to be under it all on her own.
Yeah.
And then was well able to look up and find the player, and they worked it up and... Like score, yeah, and that's what they did against Tip, and that's and Dalton. I seen her going on one of them runs in the semi final that she did in the championship match, and you just want to nail her as quick as you can, because it's either going to go over the bar, as Sarah said, it's going to be a 70-30 ball to the forward.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The mental strength that Cork have from all the success and the way they were able to grind it out last year, the fact that Kilkenny have won one of them, does that sort of level that out, or do you still feel almost that Cork, with all their experience, some of these players going for a 9th All-Ireland Camogie medal tomorrow.
I actually spoke to Anne Dalton after the All-Stars last year, and Anne said that losing that final last year was like a death in the family. Yeah. And it was like a death in the family for Anne Downey as well.
Mm.
And she called Anne Downey's house for a cup of tea after the final, and there was silence. They were distraught. Everyone was distraught. So I genuinely don't see Kilkenny coming out with any less than absolute fire for this game tomorrow. Now, I have full faith in Cork to match it, but I just think Kilkenny were so wounded by that loss last year that they will be a different team tomorrow.
It's going to be like nearly between Anne Downey and Pádraig Murray, a game of chess between the two. Like you had the saga last year of Gemma O'Connor and the holy water on her knee. Like he never told anybody she was playing until you lined out and there she was, lo and behold, wing back. Like
the full game
and her leg supposed to be hanging off. Like, I'll never forget that, on the telly afterwards saying the holy water did the job. Like, you know, so it's nearly like a game of chess between them. It's all going to be full of tactics. They're going to try expose each other's weaknesses as best they can. It's going to be a fantastic game. I think to watch.
Yeah, I'd say the battle on the sideline would be as interesting
as well. I'd say.
And Downey go through Pádraig Murray for two.
Absolutely, probably vice versa.
Yeah,
there's been some.
Need a second invitation.
It was interesting to read Pádraig Murray's article. I think he had an article again today. He really dogs the Cork girls at every opportunity, and I don't know, is that to rise them for the next game, but he's really disparaging about them. You know, I played with those girls in 05 and 06 and 07, Aoife, Gemma, Orla Cotter, and he talks about coming on board in 2011 saying that they weren't hungry enough, they weren't good enough, they were happy-go-lucky, they were happy to get the free T-shirt. And I don't know whether he's trying to play into them psychologically, because those girls were never happy to get the T-shirt.
Yeah.
So I find it hard sometimes when the spin is put on a story like that, that the team had that mentality, because those girls have never had that mentality. That's why they've 9 All-Irelands, you know.
Yeah, he's never been afraid to be front and centre and to make those sort of comments, and I guess it works for him is the thing. He generally is getting the best out of those players, or is he not?
Yeah.
Or would they be doing it no matter who the manager was?
They're for 9 All-Irelands. Mm. I find that mentality hard. Gemma's not like that. Aoife's not like that. Where is it not like that? Aisling's not like that. Like, it's not the free T-shirt that they're there for, you know. Some of the stories, I just find, yes, it makes for a great soundbite.
Yeah.
But be a bit more respectful to the girls, because they're there a long, long time, you know. Orla Cotter got married this year and they played the Munster final without her, you know. And she was absolutely gutted to miss a Munster final.
Yeah.
Now, she was getting married, goddammit. Yeah. You know, she has to get married at some point. So, you know, you have to give them credit where it's due. It doesn't always have to be a knock to get them to the next level.
I think one thing that Cork, like, the only team to come near them was Tip, and that was 12 points. They're going into this match on a massive kind of roll of where they've bet every team 12 points, like, or more. Hopefully, I'm hoping Kilkenny have got a little bit harder games with us. Please, God, like, hopefully, I'm saying. And I think that might give Kilkenny a bit of a more advantage.
So it might be a bit of a shock to the system for tomorrow in the first 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, like, you know, they're not going to win 12 points tomorrow. Definitely not.
They scored 100 points, over 100 points already in this year's campaign. You know, they've been scoring for fun. And I believe it's Kevin Murray, Paddy's brother, former Cork player, who's actually in charge of the hurling. And that expansive play that they've created has come from Kevin.
Yeah.
So Paddy has brought Kevin in and it's been a huge advantage to them.
Let's hear from the two camps then. First from the Kilkenny captain, Shelley Farrell. She also spoke with Maura Trasson and Callaghan earlier this week.
I'm joined by Kilkenny's captain, Shelley Farrell. And yet again, we have a Cork-Kilkenny All-Ireland final. I'm looking forward to it. I'm assuming you're looking forward to it, but probably not for the same reasons I am.
Oh, really looking forward to it now. It's great to be back in an All-Ireland final, and it's brilliant to get another chance at Cork now this year.
You say get another chance at Cork very politely, but there's a great rivalry between you two teams and between your two managers, which comes up to a great game for the neutrals. You probably don't care so much about that. You're just focusing on the game, though. What kind of game do you think it's going to be?
I think it'll be a very tactical game as usual, and there'll be a lot of matchups and a lot of space cut out on both ends because the ability that both forwards have and even the backs are unbelievable. So obviously everyone's going to try and limit those abilities. So it's a great match, but we really are looking forward to it, and we're just hoping we can express ourselves like we have been at training this year.
2 years ago, Kilkenny killed off a famine, finally won the final. Last year it was taken away from you in a last gasp kind of game. You've won the league this year. Do those tit for tat things, do they make a difference in your mindset as you're preparing?
It would give you confidence that you have beaten Cork this year, and we know that we've beaten them. So it was great to get the win in the league, but again, it's going to be completely different now, All-Ireland Day. The hype about it and the rivalry that everyone talks about, but we're really looking forward to it now, and I'm sure Cork are the exact same. And the win in 2016 was unbelievable compared to the feeling of the loss last year, so we really don't want to feel like that again.
How long does it take to bounce back from a loss like that? Because I know Kilkenny have gotten to finals before and you didn't win, but last year's loss was different because, one, you could have won it, and two, the feeling was very acute because you knew how good it felt from the year before.
Yeah, exactly. It was literally the last puck of the game that the winning score was got, so it was very tough to swallow after the match, but you're back to your club nearly straight away that weekend, so you kind of forget about it then after a few weeks, and once the media is finished with it and you see things off the paper, and that it's great that it's just finished then, you know, there and then. But then obviously when you start playing each other again now, the build up is back again, and the league, we started very well in the league, and it just showed the spirit that Cork had, how they came back so strong, and we were lucky we had just a bit of edge there on the day to get over the line.
The way Kilkenny lost last year, it was heartbreaking for you, but it was also very un-Kilkenny-like. The way, when we think of Kilkenny Camogie and hurling, you think of people who will go to the last and usually come out on top.
Yeah.
What have you done this year to ensure, if it comes down to the wire like that, that you'll be the ones lifting the cup?
We've just focused a lot on our mindset and closing out games, and when teams get on top of us, not to worry what the score is. If teams are up by 6 or 7 points, we know we have the strength in us to come back. And I think a lot of our championship matches this year, one match against Limerick, we were 3 points down going into the second half, and we completely turned around in the second half. We put in an unbelievable 30 minutes as a team, and that's what we really need to look for on Sunday. We need to put in a team effort for the 60 minutes or 65, whatever time is added on. We have to be ready for extra time, or you have to be ready to empty everything you have in the tank on the day.
Am I right in saying as well that as a team you've become physically stronger as well?
Yeah, definitely. The physicality since 2016, I think when Lee Meegan, our strength and conditioning coach, came on, he's completely changed the way that we look at training and the way we train, and even our attitude towards it and how to get yourself right for the pitch before we even start going out on the pitch. So it's been, even Camogie, everything, intermediate, junior, senior, you probably never heard of going to the gym in years ago, but now everyone goes on the days they're not training, so you have to have the strength as well as the skill these days.
Kilkenny's Shelley Farrell there. Have you noticed a change in Kilkenny physically over the last couple of years that they talk about since 2016?
Yeah, I suppose like they are a physical team, but the fact that I think they're just such a settled team now, and they have the experience of playing with each other for like the last few years is massive. It's same for Cork. Like, you know, they they've grown so much. Like they used to have Anne Downey or Anne Dalton up and forwards, but now they have her down, reverted centre back, and she's thriving there. I don't know really. I suppose I'm a physical person myself.
It's bouncing off you. Is that what you're saying? You wouldn't know.
She makes no difference to you.
I don't know about that.
Let's hear from Cork's Aoife Murray then, speaking to Maura Trasa.
One of the greatest rivalries in Irish sport at the moment is, of course, Cork and Kilkenny's in the Camogie. Aoife Murray, you're captain this year, and the rivalry goes on to another chapter.
Ah, yeah, I suppose it goes on to another year. Look, I suppose rivalries are great to have in sport, and it kind of builds it up to be a great final, to have ourselves and Kilkenny in it. Everybody else enjoys it more than ourselves and Kilkenny at this stage.
You, obviously, you've been playing with Cork for a long time now. You're captain, your brother is also the manager. That must bring, I use the word responsibilities, different dynamics, different thought processes for yourself?
No, I suppose not really. You know, we've always had captains in Cork, but there's been a huge amount of responsibility passed down to other players and to the team at large. And I think that's how we've done it as well this year, that, okay, I'm captain, my job really is to pick heads or tail if I'm asked. And that's kind of really the extra responsibilities. I have girls who will always talk in the dressing room, and I have girls that will always do the business on the pitch. So, you know, it's a great honour for my family. Hopefully we can do them proud.
It's a different dynamic, though, I'm assuming. I can only imagine if I was playing and my brother was manager, and if I wasn't always agreeing with him, I might feel that I was able to say something, whereas I wouldn't if there was no relation there. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Do you ever feel like, are you picking on me because you're my brother? Or are you able to park that?
I think, look, Paddy's trained me from under 18 up to senior in club. So we're used to that dynamic. I think sometimes I forget and I do say what I think to him. But I think any other manager that's had me over the years probably would say I would have done the same. I would have done the same with them. Now, I suppose the advantage is I know the man will look under every stone for whatever possible advantage that we could get, and that he'll certainly look at absolutely everything on a preparational point of view. So, you know, there's that side to it too, where I can kind of sleep safely and soundly at night.
As you get older, I'm sure your training has to evolve and change. Like, people tend to have more chronic injuries, long-term injury. Mm-hmm. And as well as that, you're also based in Dublin. And so you've that to factor in as well. So I'm assuming your training has evolved over the years.
Yeah, and look, I think, I suppose every year when you get a little bit older, you have to maybe concentrate on other parts of your game. For me, obviously, recovery is extremely important. Especially if I drive down and I'm drive back up on the one night, takes a lot longer for the body to get back up. But yeah, I think if you've got good coaches, they'll adapt it as well for you. And they might always keep an eye on you in one particular part of training to say, listen, actually, just don't do this. You know, just take it easy. You every year you adapt, but it makes it more interesting because every year is not the same then.
One thing that's been interesting for us is this rivalry that you guys have had going with Kilkenny now in recent years. The semi-final that you had, Kilkenny had, and then you guys had as well, they weren't that challenging games. Mm-hmm. Is there a bit of a worry that you could perhaps come into this final a little bit not firing the way you want to be, just because, and it's no disrespect to Tipperary, but they didn't give you the competition or the challenge you probably needed before you faced Kilkenny?
Well, look, I suppose they did give us a massive challenge in that first half. In fairness to them, they really kind of wore their heart on their sleeve, and they worked extremely hard. And we were 3 points up only at half time. It was 9-6. There was a serious challenge in that first half. And okay, we pulled away in the second half. But, you know, a lot of people have asked me about the fact that we haven't been challenged. I think if anybody saw our Offaly game, they would have seen the outstanding hurlers Offaly had, and that they did put up a serious challenge to us. Only that we just had shooters that were able to score from around the pitch.
Just that.
But like, you know, so we've had our own challenges along the road. Were they strong enough? We'll find out, I suppose, to be honest. And we'll never really know until the final whistle goes.
Yeah, that is the Cork goalkeeper, Aoife Murray, talking to Maura Trasany Kelleher ahead of tomorrow's final against Kilkenny. You were just saying off air, she's a smashing keeper.
Yeah, yeah. She's a fantastic keeper. I remember last year we played them in the semi-final. Like, her puckouts are just like outrageous. She can pinpoint them and she knows exactly where they're winning and where they're losing them. And like, you'd think she's going hitting it down the left, and the next thing, all of a sudden, she just switches to the right. And she's very, very, very good keeper.
So trustworthy as well. Like, even if the backs get the ball, they're not afraid to pass it back to her to go long or something. So, and it's very vocal as well. Yeah, she's an excellent keeper.
But when you get a goal on Aoife, it's a goal to serve. Absolutely.
She'll be 4 points.
Absolutely.
She'll be four.
She's like an extra fullback, just the way she comes out and commands it. You know, you genuinely are looking at an extra fullback because she's off her line so quickly.
Yeah.
I want to get your predictions for the final, but just a few more texts because we've had a big response this afternoon. And this is something, actually, I think you were talking about off air as well. Biggest barrier to Camogie attendance growth is refereeing standards at county level. Went to Limerick's first game this year. The ref was so bad, didn't go to any more games. Please ask if they would prefer Camogie to be played under hurling rules, says Adrian.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
What are the main differences?
Shouldering.
Physicality is just
no hand pass. Goals.
No dropping the hurling.
I think the physicality would be a great introduction. Yeah. You know, we train in the gym. We're really strong. We're used to hurling. We can shoulder. It makes for a great game when you allow it to flow. And that would be a major thing for us.
Definitely.
Sarah, you were making, well, you just made the point that you like to play quite physically when you are playing, but that
I don't mean
quite
to.
Often watching a Camogie game, it's very stop-start because automatically it's naturally a physical game, so you want to get stuck in, but because you're not really allowed, it's just constant free after free after free.
Yeah, like, I remember the 2013 All-Ireland, I think it was 13 minutes gone and I think there was 13 frees. So basically the ball goes down one side, it's free, comes back up, it's free, and it just ruins the game. Like, nobody's going to want to watch a game that stops starting every few minutes. And as Sarah said, free flown, like let them showcase their ability. This crack of, and like, I understand referees, that they're getting kind of assessed too and on the rules, but I think definitely some leeway has to be there to allow the game to open up.
Well, I guess then
the players as well.
Yeah, that it's not necessarily the referees, it's they're having to put the rules out that are there. Like, you're all unanimous and you feel that there should be more physicality allowed.
Definitely.
Do you have a real voice, a way of changing that?
I just thought the quarterfinal in the Waterford match, I was watching that, and Coit Devan, who's a stunning hurler, was getting penalised left, right and centre by the ref for taking on the ball. And every time I was going, God, that's a bit harsh. She was on a yellow after 10 minutes. It was the maddest thing. Like, Coit is the most direct, stylish hurler you could see. And yet she was being penalised every time she went forward.
She usually gets yellows, actually, Matt. I don't know what it is, but... Yeah, like, I just think it really breaks down the momentum of the players as well, like, because we have to stop again and then it's a free again. And no, I'd rather see a flow anyway and just more physicality as well, because we're like the men, we go to the gym twice a week, whatever it is, and we have the physicality, and it is becoming a big factor in all GA sports, the gym and stuff. So I think, let us play.
It's on.
Camogie, like, it's supposed to be it's a non-contact sport, and like, there is contact, like, it has to be contact, like, do you know, and like, as the girl said, you just love it to be able to showcase what you have. And definitely, like, I hope to God Eamon Cassidy lets it flow tomorrow, because it will turn into a great game.
You'd imagine you're as likely to get hurt by a whack of a hurl as you are from a heavy shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, we all do this crazy arson thing with the ball in the middle, and it's just like everyone zones in on it. And you know, if there was just a little bit more, like, just a little bit more physical in it, I think it would be definitely better.
Give you a throw of player over the sideline, there'd be a bit of crack, you know what I mean? They love it in the hurling, you know what I mean? Throw them out over the sideline.
On the club situation, incumbent and clubs to push for equality, Nemo Rangers in Cork have put Tuesday night solely to Camogie development. First preference on the hall, Astro and the pitches. Also important to increase female involvement in the coaching and mentoring. Underage Camogie training is predominantly fathers and needs more female involvement, says Mick in Cork. And anytime we have a conversation around increasing participation in female sport, that's the one thing it always comes back to, is increasing the number of female coaches.
I was lucky enough to be offered a chance to come in with the Dublin under 16s this year, and it was in a mentoring position because I was obviously playing as well, so I was going in with the girls kind of once a fortnight, and to be able to interact with the girls and chat to the girls, there's 7 male mentors on the sideline and then you're the only female voice. It does make a massive difference. It's just to try and find the balance between able to play and to be able to have a family life and to be able to coach. You know, sometimes there's more freedom for men to be able to do these coaching roles because women are at home and doing the school run and, you know, bringing up their children. And that's why there isn't necessarily an opportunity for them to go into coaching roles after playing sport the way there is for men.
How do we change that?
Do the lads want to stay at home a couple of nights a week? You know, is Jim Gavin going to stay at home a couple of nights a week to let the missus out to train the ladies footballers?
I don't know, does he? Maybe he does.
I don't know. I don't know.
Jim, I get this is a very good work-life balance.
Does his wife?
I cannot speak. That's a,
what's her name? You don't know.
That's a very different conversation to you.
No.
I'm sure Mrs. Gavin can speak for herself. And if she wants to get in touch, please do. And finally, Brian, just going for a singular management model is a solution when you can't get the different management teams to work together. Somewhat typically this doesn't tend to happen. Galway have won the last four under-16s and been finalists in the previous three minor finals in a row as well, but aren't making All-Ireland finals at intermediate and senior. It's nothing to do with combining management at senior and intermediate. It's about transitioning underage stars up to adult.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was at the under-16 All-Ireland there a couple of weeks ago, and some of the players there are just phenomenal. Like, and you know, I don't know, there's some gap that seems to be, maybe it's the jump from minor, the fact that we don't have an under 21 to help them grow. But we have very successful underage. Even the hurlers have very successful underage. They won under 17 All-Ireland there a couple of weeks ago. They've won minor. I think that was Jeffrey Linsky's, I think, three out of four, I think. It's just to try and keep the players and nurture them, I suppose, the best way we can. Definitely thinking under 21s or an under 20s for the ladies, for the women's camogie, definitely would be huge, because it is a massive jump from being an under 18 to a senior player, and it's going to take them a couple of years to close.
There is a ladies football under 21, and it's a very good championship, and it's a very attractive championship for players. So
yeah, you're just giving people another
window
excuse to drop out if there's nothing there at under 20 or under 21 level. At prediction time then, so Orla, ye went up against Cork and you saw them at full force and all that they're about. Do you see any way Kilkenny can stop them?
I think Kilkenny do have a way to stop them. I think from our first half, when we played Cork in the semi-final, I think they will learn a lot about that, about how to break them down. You have to just attack in twos and threes and just keep working on that. But like we only played Cork this year. We haven't touched Kilkenny yet. But I definitely think that Kilkenny are there and can beat Cork. They're excellent at scoring goals. They have this just determined to go forward. They're excellent, so strong, powerful up front, and I think Kilkenny could get over the line and beat them tomorrow.
All right, Sarah.
Can I sit in the fence? No.
No. Those players will be fully focused today. This won't come back to home next year.
Personally, I'd love to see Kilkenny win it because they bet us in the semi-final. At least I would say, well, we were bet by the best team in the country. I think Cork's ability to score from 60 yards, 45, 60 yards out will be a massive factor. It'll be all who wins or what defence gets opened up. If Kilkenny get the chance to get the goals, I would give definitely the nod to Kilkenny. Cork's ability to score up out the field, I don't know.
Tough one, yeah.
I'm going to go with Kilkenny.
All right, so we have two for Kilkenny.
I want
Sarah
Cork,
Donovan.
I want Cork to win tomorrow for one sole reason. I want Breach Corkery to come on, get a screamer of a goal 4 months after having her first baby and getting her 18th All-Ireland medal. I think that would be the greatest story of the season.
All right, talk to us very quickly then about Breach Corkery, who you played with.
Yes, she is a phenomenal talent. Breach had her baby son Tyke 4 months ago, and Breach has been running the fields in Cadhuv since to get back to a level that she was able to come on in the All-Ireland semi-final. So she got 2 months in the All-Ireland, 2 minutes in the All-Ireland semi-final. Breach is the best player on All-Ireland final day to have in your armour.
Why?
She's got no fear.
She got a goal against us in 2015 and turned the game. I'll never forget it, watching it. I was like, anyone, just nail her.
She is just buzzing around, waiting for the break. And she was like, I suppose, Paul Mannion the last day. You know, he's up in the forwards and all of a sudden he's back full back and he's turning a ball over. That's Breach. Like, she has an engine that no one else has, and I'd love to see her come on tomorrow and be the difference.
Yeah, Serena Williams in the US Open final tonight. It could be a good weekend for new mothers. Exactly. So I think we have two for Kilkenny, one for Cork. Brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for coming in. Best of luck next season. Hopefully you won't be here this time next year. Sarah, you might be back with us again. You certainly won't be on 4 to 7 on a Friday afternoon this time next year. You're in the Ivan Yates fan club. You joined Shane Lowry in that, so congratulations. The tickets, by the way, which we have been asked to announce by the Camogie Board, who are more than happy to promote their event tomorrow. Tickets for adults, €30 on match day, €25 if you purchase in advance. Students and senior citizens. There are concessions available on match day and a fiver for under 18. So get along tomorrow. Brilliant triple header at Croke Park. We're going to take a very quick break.
Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.